Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What is absolutely true is that if without any Republican support on anything, then it's going to be hard to get things done. But I'm not going to anticipate that they're not going to support anything.
And guess what, Mr. President? That's not the only way. The Center for American Progress, the progressive think tank headed by President Clinton's White House Chief of Staff, John Podesta, is out with a list of things that they say President Obama can do without Congress: executive orders, rulemaking, diplomacy, and more to advance a progressive agenda, even if Congress bogs down in gridlock. So let's see what's on the list. With me now is Sarah Wartell, Executive Vice President at the Center for American Progress. Sarah, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian. I'm thrilled to be on your terrific show and back in my hometown.
Thank you. And what's the big picture, first of all? Why issue a paper like this?
Well, so much of the conversation in Washington right now is about the prospects for stalemate and the debate about what the whether the president ought to tack to the left or tack to the center and how we're going to get things done in Congress. We wanted to make people remember that so much of the business of governing is within the executive branch, and that the president has, from the Constitution and from laws of this land, enormous authority to do things that'll matter in everyday people's lives, and he should spend a significant portion of his team's time and attention on that agenda.
You have a long list of specifics. Let's dive right in on some of them. And listeners, the Center for American Progress, I'm sure, would love to hear your suggestions, as would we all, for what President Obama can accomplish without Congress. Let's say Congress does bog down in gridlock over the next 2 years. What do you think President Obama can do on his own? You all know some of the powers of the executive branch. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or post it to our politics website. It's a free country.org. It's a free country.org. First on your list, not surprisingly, is job creation. That's the first priority for America. The president can do that without getting Congress to agree to another stimulus bill or certain tax cuts or whatever?
Well, obviously, there are some things that require spending authorization approval, but there's a lot of things that the powers that the president already has been granted by Congress that he can use. Congress recently passed a small business credit bill, and it has tax provisions, credit provisions, new lending authority for banks. But that money will only flow into the economy if our banking sector and small business outreach efforts kind of ramp up immediately to get people realizing what opportunities there are. So we've got to make a huge push to reach out, bring people together, and get that implemented quickly. Similarly, we're talking about how he can try to help create demand and jumpstart renewable energy. The president has the ability to use the purchasing power of the United States government. The United States Air Force has airplane hangars around the country, which are a perfect place to put solar arrays. And if we create that kind of demand for solar technologies here in the United States, it can allow us to become more efficient, more effective at producing them, and make our products more competitive. So there's lots that the president can do with the powers of the federal government to help create jobs and move the country forward.
And I guess that dovetails with the second one from your list that I was going to bring up, which is clean energy and energy independence. But all we hear is that cap and trade is dead. So you're saying there's another way.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about the fact that some of the existing laws under the Clean Air Act and others give the president a great deal of ability to regulate pollutants in ways that will help to drive not only lower pollution levels, but also lower carbon emissions. He also has the power to take steps to reduce oil imports and make progress towards our energy independence, to conserve federal lands for future generations, and to use our public lands. Right now, the priority in their management is on oil and gas exploration, but we can use those lands also to advance a balanced energy strategy that prioritizes renewables and efficiency as well.
Listeners, what can President Obama do on his own without Congress to make progress. And, of course, different people define progress differently. Some people are happy that the government looks like it will go more slowly on things because they think that all this action doesn't necessarily represent progress over the last 2 years. But if you think there are things that President Obama can and should do on his own if Congress bogs down in gridlock in whatever direction, what do you think those things might be? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll get to your calls in a minute. Here's another one from the list from the Center for American Progress, which is issuing just exactly this call, things that President Obama can do on his own if Congress bogs down. And they've got a long list in a new report. Another one is on the home foreclosure crisis, another biggie for America today. But I should say this is an area where the president has already tried to do some things, and the banks just don't get on board. What more can the president do?
Well, we're at a unique moment because today we have 96% of the housing market in some way or other backed by the federal government. That's not a situation anyone wants to maintain for a long time, but it does create some unique opportunities. So, for example, the president has been trying to drive more and more people to use the modification process, but as you note, many of the banks aren't playing. Well, foreclosure counselors could be given the authority to determine whether or not, using web-based tools, home buyers are eligible. And the burden would then become on the lenders to show why a modification doesn't make sense. That process, so much of what we're seeing is bogging down in the internal procedures and the lack of capacity on the lenders, and while that's happening, foreclosures are proceeding, we can take some of that workload off the lenders, and the president has the ability to do it. Similarly, right now, because both FHA and Fannie and Freddie have government overseers, as these entities are foreclosing on properties where homeowners are unable to stay in their homes, that creates the possibility to aggregate all these homes into a scattered site rental housing and to begin to manage them in concentrated areas to help bring back up property values rather than let them sit foreclosed and abandoned, driving down community safety and home values.
Well, we're getting a board full of callers who have ideas for things that President Obama could do on his own to move America forward with the executive powers that he has, even without Congress. And Barry in Ocean, not in the ocean, in Ocean, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I voted basically against the Bush administration, and I still have yet to see President Obama reverse every single one of the Bush administration's orders and instructions, basically to instruct federal agencies to not bother with their oversight requirements. And look at what it's gotten us. And these all need to be reversed, and the federal agencies need to get back into the business of their proper oversight role.
Well, Barry, thanks very much for your call. I think that you're right that the President Bush was a great example of someone who used his executive branch authorities, despite the fact that there were divided Congresses for significant portions of his presidency, and in some cases not a lot of support, to take really far-reaching actions. He issued a rule that limited federal funding for embryonic stem cell research to existing colonies. He denied a request from California to adopt stricter tailpipe emissions for greenhouse gases. He issued an executive order implementing and, I would say, undermining the intent of the Presidential Records Act that permitted the sitting president to block the release of federal records. And he even took symbolic steps such as unsigning the Rome Treaty that established the International Criminal Court and announced he was abandoning weapons protocols for the Biological Weapons Convention. Now, I'm not suggesting that President Obama mimic those same actions, but he needs to look at the authorities that exist in the executive branch to send a signal about the direction that we want to move the country on. So much of our focus has been on the stalemate in Congress. I think if people saw things getting done, the administration standing with the public would rise as well.
By the way, a critic of the Obama administration from the right writes on our It's a Free Country page, so the guest is in effect going to tell us how Obama can circumvent the normal legal channels of government in a representative democracy that reflect the desires of the citizen voters. So that's what this overhyped progressive label means. I get it now. All options, however devious, are on the table as long as they reflect your agenda. What do you say
to
the listener?
Well, I think the listener really misunderstands what we're saying. I would argue that the president absolutely has limits on his authority. They're established also by the Constitution and by the laws of the land. But within those statutory grants of authority, there is a wide range of policy discretion. That's essentially Congress, 535 members of Congress, can't decide every detail of public policy. And that's why we have elections every 4 years. I think the public brought President Obama into office because they wanted to see change. And of course, he will be he needs to do things that are going to help win support and consensus of the public. But seeing nothing get done is what I think frustration over seeing nothing get done was what the message of the last 2 years has been. And I think that the president has a chance to show that he can do this. President Clinton had enormous trouble with Congress in numerous stretches, and yet the things that he did were wildly popular. President Clinton used his executive authority to protect more land in the lower 48 states than any president since Theodore Roosevelt. He established national protections for medical privacy. He enlisted the help of businesses to move 1 million welfare recipients into the workforce through welfare-to-work partnerships. He connected American schools to the Internet. And he launched a national campaign against teen pregnancy that was very successful. All of those things he did without legislation, and all of them were things that were very much consistent with the will of the broader public.
Sarah Wartell, Executive Vice President of the liberal think tank, the Center for American Progress, collecting and disseminating ideas for what President Obama can do with just the executive powers now that the election may leave Congress in pretty much of a gridlocked state for the next 2 years. Carolyn writes on our itsafreecountry.org politics site, improve governmental communications. This TSA snafu is a perfect example of how our government needs a good PR team. The TSA snafu, of course, is this pat-down and body scan thing having to do with flying on the Thanksgiving holiday. So does she have something good there?
Well, I certainly would agree that the release of that was perhaps could have been improved on. I think her broader point is that one of the things the president does, he's the CEO of the world's largest operation, and there are enormous opportunities to find efficiencies and improve the way that government runs. Let me give you one example. We recently released another report called the $400 billion opportunity that talks about how the federal government can buy goods and services far more cost-effectively, taking advantage of practices that the private sector and state and local governments have been adopting. And I think the public would be pleased to see this a strong, resourceful chief executive setting goals and then managing the operations of the government more effectively, and that'll help win the public confidence in the agenda that he seeks to advance.
T. Howard in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey.
What you got?
Well, the president needs to authorize satellite image forecasting, which is exploring for oil using satellite images. That's a 50% cost-saving effectiveness right there. Right there.
Satellite imaging to explore for oil.
And it's 100% effective. That satellite image forecasting is what British Petroleum is using in Siberia. That's what saved their company from bankruptcy with the Gulf fiasco.
Thank you very much for your call. Sarah, go ahead.
I'm writing it down, T. Howard. We'll look into it. Thanks.
Myron in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, what you got?
Well, what I think is that given the job situation, one of the clearest things that could be done is a reenactment of the CCC. Many national parks could offer young people jobs, which would take pressure off the unemployment rolls. And many of the young people today could do wonderful things to create enjoyment for the older people in life. In addition, I feel that the section of the population of the young between 17 and 25 and from what I read, especially amongst minorities, is unemployed. And when a large percentage of these people are unemployed, that affects your whole education system. It would be a wonderful thing if they could move from the education system into a national park, do wonderful jobs. And I'm going to add one thing. My father had a friend in the 30s who was in the CCC. His parents were out of work. They lived in Brooklyn. He went to work in one of these national parks, making our country beautiful, and felt indebted to the government for the help. The money from his paycheck from the government went to his parents so that they could pay their rent. And I think there could be a good movement in a creative way to reenact something like this, and I'm sure the president could do it and would win kudos from everybody and re-engage with the young.
Myron, thank you very much. Another one on your list, Sarah, is that the key legislative accomplishments of President Obama's first 2 years in office, most notably health care and financial reform, now need to be implemented effectively. So that's another area where the president without Congress could have an impact on how the Health Reform Act, how the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act actually get implemented in ways that people notice?
That's exactly right. It is clear that the new Congress is going to have some additional debate, I suspect mostly with itself, about whether or not some of the provisions that they passed only last year need to remain in place. But at the end of the day, none of those repeals and reforms are likely to see enactment into law. It'll create a context in which it's only more important, it seems to me, for the president to show quickly that by implementing those statutes, we can make positive changes. I think that if we have real opportunities in the health care bill to drive down the costs of health care by taking advantage of some of the cost containment and payment reform opportunities the bill creates, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that's created in the Dodd-Frank Financial Services Reform legislation has to lay out its agenda over the next year as well as get itself organized and into shape, and it's very important for the president to start to show how some of the policy authorities it's been granted can help make products clearer and create new protections for consumers.
I wonder if I can get a comment from you on the story that's in the news about how the health reform bill will be implemented. Apparently, the administration is agreeing to backtrack on a requirement for better health insurance policies for people at the low-wage end, like McDonald's, for example, is the company that's cited in the New York Times today. 30,000 workers who are given these mini-med policies, which are minimal coverage, only up to about $2,000 a year of medical benefits coming back to the workers, and they have to pay in about $675 per year out of their paychecks. And I guess the law calls for those policies to be improved, but McDonald's and others have threatened to drop health insurance altogether for those workers if it becomes unaffordable for them. And it looks like the administration is going to back off this, or at least moderate it to some degree. Do you have an opinion about this?
Well, I'm afraid I haven't gotten deep enough into the details of this morning's story to know for sure what's going on there. But I think I think the broader point is that the legislation contains a lot of protections for workers. And once people see that, for example, they're able to put their kids on their parents' health care insurance and that they're protected from pre-existing conditions, that the discussion about a statutory repeal of the health care bill will start to seem a little less attractive. So the sooner we get more of the implementation widely understood and in place, the sooner the public's understanding of the good that the bill can do will be enhanced.
Well, we're going to leave it here. Listeners, if you want to know more about the Center for American Progress list of things that President Obama can do on his own without Congress, how can they find that out?
I'd go to www.americanprogress.org and look for the power of the president.
And are you taking input from people? You know, we're getting various threads of phone calls here, people saying, you know, this is how the president can make progressive change. You're right. He should do this, 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 and this. Other people saying this is how he can show after the drubbing in the election that he's the president of all the people and do some things that maybe your group wouldn't label so progressive, but rebuild his credibility with the independent voters, et cetera, et cetera. But are you taking all of those suggestions still?
Absolutely. We're going to continue with an ongoing project with new ideas every week for things that the executive branch can do, and I'd love to get your listeners' ideas and thoughts.
All right. Sarah Wartell, Executive Vice President of the Center for American Progress, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in just a minute, we will get the latest on the fighting between the Koreas. We'll talk to Charles Armstrong, who's a North Korea expert at Columbia University. Stay with us.